It's been an explosive year in Walford.
Henry Kofi Asare was my father.
Get your filthy hands off me!
We've had confessions.
Because I raped her.
I did it. I killed Keanu Taylor.
Obsessions.
I want more. She's addictive.
So you do want her?
That's the reason I slept with Junior. That's the reason this whole thing started.
Do you know, sometimes I'm in bed with Junior, right? Close my eyes and I think it's George.
But now the votes are in.
Welcome to the Albert Square After Dark Awards for 2024. Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to the Albert Square After Dark Awards for 2024. Ooh, you have been voting in your hundreds, possibly thousands, for this year's awards. 2024, Ree, it's been quite a year, hasn't it?
It has, definitely has been.
Busy old year.
When we were thinking of all the nominations, we were like, wow, quite a lot's happened this year, hasn't it?
It's been a busy old year. Can you believe this is our second award show? This is how long we've been doing this podcast for now. It's our second award show. It's good, isn't it?
Soz. Yeah, Soz. Look at us. We're consistent, always, Rob.
Always amazes us, however long. From here, it'll just stun us every single day how long we've been doing this for.
Yeah, it really will.
There we go. So, you know why you're here. You want to know the results. And we have the results here for every single category. We should go through each one. We should give you the top three. And then we will announce the winner. But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the Platinum Star Award. So each and every week, we give out a gold star each. This is to a character that has stood out to us that week. And at the end of every single year, that character who received the most gold stars will receive the Albert Square After Dark Platinum Star Award. Honestly, we don't just throw this together. There's a reason to our madness.
Who knew?
It's like a Blue Peter badge, Ree, this Platinum Star. It's a great honour.
It's like an Albert Square After Dark
Oscar
badge.
Yeah,
yes,
it really is.
Blue Peter badge, yes.
So, ladies and gents, the top three characters for the most golden stars given throughout 2024 in joint third position with five stars each are Denise, Cindy and Elaine. In second place with six stars was Suki, and in first place with a pretty mammoth eight stars throughout the year was Yolande Truman. There you go. I mean, Yolande,
well deserved.
Had, totally well deserved, right? Yolande had such an amazing period, probably around, was it the middle of the year that the assault storyline happened and everything?
Roughly.
And how amazing was Angela Winter for every single second of that? I think that was the main pull of it.
Yeah. Like, she's been phenomenal this year, Angela Winter.
There was a few weeks, I think, where she received both of our stars. And we try and kind of vary it.
Yeah,
there
were. And we were like, no, she's got to get a double star this week.
Absolutely.
So, and very well deserved.
Absolutely. So the winner of the Albert Square Platinum Star for 2024 was Yolande Truman. And very, very well deserved. We move on now to Best Performance.
So, the nominees for Best Performance in no particular order are Angela Winter, Balvinder Sopel and Kelly Bright. And the winner with a staggering 33.2% is Kelly Bright.
Rob. I mean, hard to argue with that, really. I think Kelly Bright has played an utter blinder being an alcoholic, hasn't she? It's been
pretty
stunning.
She wasn't even in our top three gold stars, actually, Kelly Bright.
No, she wasn't.
What were we playing at?
I know. This is the thing, right? I think the gold star is a different sort of beast.
Yeah, I was
to
just thinking that though. Yeah, because it's not for like best acting, is it?
No, gold although star. I feel like in Yolande's case, it probably was in many ways. It's interesting, well, yeah, isn't it, the way it sort of plays out like that. But Kelly Bright has been absolutely stunning, right? She has knocked everything that she was given out of the park. Linda's alcoholism storyline has been so sort of difficult, and it's been really weird because it's actually been really difficult, but at times genuinely funny and kind of upsetting. And it's just the whole range of emotions that you can give to an alcoholic storyline. It's been amazing.
Exactly. She's so good. She's so good at acting drunk as well. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. And she's so good at doing it. Yeah, very convincing.
It really is. I mean, I thought this year, I've said, and I will argue this point quite happily, that I genuinely think that that Linda as a character has really come into her own since Mick left, to be perfectly honest with you.
We're all worried. What on earth is she going to do without Mick?
Oh, I'll tell you what she's going to do. She's going to kill Keanu. She's going to have a nervous breakdown with alcoholism and nearly die. And she's just going to have a very, very busy year. That's what she's going to do. And it's been stunning to watch. I genuinely believe that Kelly Bright is probably one of the greatest actors in EastEnders, like as in terms of in its history. She is up there.
She's incredibly good.
Brilliant. So, fair play to her. Right, ladies and gents, the next award is for Best Villain. Okay, the top three, in no particular order, for Best Villain are Cindy Beale, Eddie Knight, and Nish Panesar. And coming in with 74.6% of the vote is Nish Panesar. I mean, how can he not?
It had to be this year, 100%. Yeah. There was no one else it could have been.
And what a villain Nish has been, I think, because it's very hard sometimes, I think, with villains to give them a convincing motive for how they behave, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you've got like a serial killer or something on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sort of, you sort of just roll your eyes and think, oh, okay, that person was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But what Nish actually did, I think, was come across as somebody who was controlling, but you understood his motivations. You didn't like them.
Yeah.
They were warped and messed up, but you understood why he was doing what he did, and you understood what he was doing. Because you understand those sorts of people. Because I think we have all met a Nish at some point in our lives, and it's never a pleasant experience.
Not quite to the extent.
Not to that extent.
I don't think I've. Yeah.
I've never been thrown off a balcony. I'll give him that.
No, certainly not. Or poisoned.
Hey, the year's young. The year is young.
God, it is very young.
Very young, yes. Who knows? But yeah, and I thought Navin Chowdhury, awesome as Nish. Like, fantastic performance. Yeah, 100%. And Nish has been a great villain.
Yeah. Well, very well deserved. Couldn't have gone to anyone else, I don't think, this year.
No, absolutely not. Right, ladies and gents, the next award is for Best Storyline.
The top three nominees for Best Storyline were Yolande's sexual abuse, Linda hits rock bottom, and the six fallout. And the winner with 24.5% of the votes was Yolande's sexual abuse.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, do you know what? The one thing that's disappointed me about this year is that in award shows and everything, you know, the Soap Awards, the NTAs and everything, Angela Winter hasn't actually received any sort of like the big award show. Angela Winter somehow has like always just slipped through the net of getting the awards that she so deserves. So to have that win Best Storyline, I mean, it's up there, surely, with the Oscars and the NTAs, right?
No, like, legit, though. Like, she really hasn't got enough credit for what she's done for last year.
Yeah,
hopefully she might get some recognition this year. We've got the Soap Awards. Have we got the Soap Awards this year?
I think we have.
Yeah, hopefully that's where she's going to, you know, get all of the awards. But then again, she's up against Kelly Bright as well, so who knows,
indeed,
right?
Indeed. But I tell you what, I mean, that abuse storyline,
it was
great, because I also kind of thought that the whole point of the story was just the frustration around reporting sexual assault and the justice behind sexual assault. It seemed right from the start that that's what the story was about, rather than, yes, we studied Yolande's journey and what Yolande went through during that moment, and Angela Winter was incredible throughout it, but I always felt that the story was more about victims as a whole, and sort of like how sexual abuse can go on, and sexual assault can go on for years and years and years unpunished, like just unstoppable, basically.
Yeah. And how you might not be believed. I mean, he had a certain demographic that he went for, didn't he, Pastor Gideon Clayton? So
Indeed.
that can prevent you from getting any justice as well. So, yeah. Talking of which, he was in the best villain nominations that we put up, and he didn't get anything, did he?
It's interesting
Gideon
that,
Clayton. He
isn't it?
wasn't in the top
Because,
three.
yeah, it's interesting because I always, it's like, what does a soap viewer want from a villain to see? Like, what do you consider to be a villain, and what do you consider to be somebody who is just a horrible, horrible person that's there for a specific reason? I'd say maybe a villain is somebody who has got more than one story about them. Like, Clayton was brought in to do this and only this, wasn't he, really? So,
True, yeah.
but I also thought it was interesting the way that Clayton's exit happened, because I know a lot of people were really frustrated and kind of like, oh, is that how you're doing it? That's not the way I wanted it to go, with him committing suicide. And I understand that completely, but I think I also get that these people so often are utter cowards and they don't want to face up to what they've done. And I feel like so many assault victims and rape victims have to deal with the fact that that person will never receive full justice for what they've done. It seemed like quite a realistic way for it to go, I thought.
And then they're not receive the survivors are then not receiving their closure because of it as well. Yeah, which is realistic. It is. I mean, I think it would have been a bit more controversial though as well from EastEnders to have taken it to court and for them to not get the justice in that way. As realistic as that would be, it would be quite a controversial thing to put out there because then would they be at risk of sending out the message that even if you do report it, they're not going to get sent down for it anyway, so don't bother. That's
And yet
that
it's
might have
perfect.
been the message that it'd get sent out with that
And yet,
outcome.
at the same time, that is kind of how it is if you look at the statistics. So
It
it's like,
is, but
what do you do?
they also don't want to discourage people from reporting these things by showing, well, you're going to report it and that'll be the outcome. So in a lot of ways, it was kind of the best way to go with it, I think, in a lot of ways. As frustrating as it is to see, but
But
yeah.
again, that frustration, I think, was the gas of the story. Like, that's what it was about. Like, the frustration and that sort of feeling of, is anything going to be able to be done about this? That was the story. And I thought, actually, that came across really well within the writing and the story and the performances themselves. I thought they did really, really well with that, and worthy of the award.
Agreed. And the next award is for Best Partnership.
So the top three nominees for Best Partnership are Patrick and Yolandi, Ravi and Priya, and Eve and Suki. And the winner with 57.9% of the vote, Eve and Suki. I mean, are we surprised, really? Of course
No,
we're
we're
not. The
not
Suki fans
surprised.
are a dedicated bunch. And you know what? I get it, because actually, Heather Peace and Balvinder Sopal are fantastic together. They work really, really well.
They are a great partnership, so I'm actually not surprised that they've won. Even if you're not a big Suki fan, they are a great partnership. So
Yeah,
yeah,
and I don't
makes
actually
sense.
get a huge I don't see a huge amount online of people that aren't like that are against Suki and Eve together either. I
Yeah.
think sometimes with pairings like that, you get people that just want to go against the grain and say, "Ugh." But actually, I don't see a
Oh
lot of that
well.
with Suki and Eve. I
If
think they're a
only
pretty popular couple.
Nish was let loose on a keyboard in 2024, then we would
What
have
would he
seen a
have
lot of
said?
people.
Yeah, exactly. So the question now is, now Nish is dead, where do you see Suki and Eve going from here? Happiness, dare we say? Dare we argue?
I mean, come on, they've got to, right? For even if it's just for a couple of months, because I can't be bothered to watch them suffering with anything else, if I'm honest with you.
I
But
think
obviously they're gonna have to.
it's a soap, isn't it? But you also gotta think, after everything they've gone through to get where they are now, they're now married. We are looking at Suki and Eve Panesar Unwin. All right, so
You know
surely.
what? I wouldn't be surprised if Nish has left a couple of little surprises from beyond the grave, you
In a
know,
will or
all lined
something.
up.
Yeah, maybe.
Something somewhere, like, you know, he planned Suki and him to have a joint funeral. That would have been past him beyond the grave. Sorry, I can't get my words out. So yeah, has he got something else lined up that we don't know about? Maybe he'd set, for all we know, he might have set Nugget as some of the little mission
He might
whilst
have
he were
done.
meeting up with him. I won't be surprised by that.
No. So you think his influence will continue for quite a few months to come yet?
There's potential. There's definitely potential.
I would like to see them explore Eve's history a little bit, and sort of, because we've had some indications this the past couple of months that she's started communicating with her parents again for the first time in years. So I'd quite like to meet them and sort of study their relationship.
Ironically, was thanks to Nish having her mum beat up.
Exactly. So what a nice bloke, right?
Yeah, exactly.
nice man.
At least he reunited Eve with her parents.
Yeah, exactly. And as well as that, they also seem to be hinting about the Suki and Ash relationship. Like, are we going to study that a little bit more? Are we going to see Ash again? I don't know.
No, I think it's gone now. We know that she obviously knows about Suki and Eve. Surely she would have come back for the wedding if she were going to come back.
This is the thing. So that's clearly an unspoken thing between mother and daughter that I think... I don't think we'd ever have Ash back full time. I don't think she needs to come back full time. But I would like to see her come back for maybe a couple of episodes just to have that conversation, considering how much... Suki gave Ash in terms of about her own sexuality when she was in fact going through some internalized homophobia at the time. I'd quite like Ash to be able to stand up and say, "You are a hypocrite, and how dare you treat me like that when you knew that this was where you wanted to be." What's wrong?
I think we all still need that moment, but I just don't see it happening. I don't know why. I just don't feel like Ash is ever going to come back. But I could eat my words. Maybe we might have a recast. I've no idea.
Who knows?
I won't be against that.
We shall see. Right, ladies and gents, next award is Best Episode.
In no particular order, the nominees for Best Episode were Patrick and Yolanda's Two-Hander, What If Linda Died, and The Knights Discover George's Heritage. And the winner with 20.6% of the votes was What If Linda Died.
I'm surprised, actually. It was a good episode.
We were very surprised at this, yeah.
I'm not going to sit here slagging the episode off. It was a very strong episode. Really powerful.
We were just surprised it won the votes, weren't we? Yeah,
I think this is because Kelly Bright won the best performance. So I think that it was very sort of a powerful episode, even though Linda was dead for most of that episode, in theory. Who knows? Yeah, but it was just as a result of, the big old Linda storyline. So, and it was a really powerful way to examine, the what-if scenario. And it was interesting, how long ago those pictures were released of the supposed funeral. Yeah. And it was interesting, how people quite quickly worked out what that was going to be about when they saw those pictures. Yeah. But it's sort of where's Linda? Lee and Nancy are there. So clearly this is supposed to be a Linda-type funeral, but we don't know. We've never heard that Kelly Bright's leaving the show, so...
We all knew deep down that she weren't leaving. We're like, surely not. No way. And for her to go in that, it would be realistic for her to go in that way, but it wouldn't feel right to us, would it?
Yeah, it would sadly be quite realistic.
Yeah.
I do want to have a shout out to The Knights Discover George's Heritage, though, because I genuinely think that was one of the best episodes in the show's history. I really like the strength of that episode in the performances. The script was incredibly adult and mature and hard hitting, and was so what EastEnders is about, just like those really in-depth, small cast, deep character studies. But I didn't just vote. It was all of you lovely people, and you decided What If Linda Died was the best episode of 2024, and fair play to it, I say.
And the next award is for Best Writer.
So the top three nominees for Best Writer were Brian Kirkwood, Lauren Clee, and Simon Ashdown. And the result is... with 42.6% of the votes, it's Mr. Simon Ashdown. Actually, one of Simon Ashdown's bigger years in terms of the amount of scripts he's written for the show. He's written 10, I think, this year, which is the most he's written in quite a number of years since he was the series consultant back in sort of the Deirdre Santa years onwards. So it's fair to say Simon Ashdown is properly full on part of the writing team, which is good. And his episodes are always the ones that you sort of think, oh, Simon Ashdown episode, that means something big's going to kick off. And quite rightly, he's very good at that sort of thing, isn't he?
They always have a lot of character depth in Ashdown episode. You know that's what you can expect.
Yeah.
Yes. And a lot of answers usually.
Yes. Oh, and a lot of questions starting up as well.
Yes.
It's interesting that they'll sort of give writers like specific storylines. Like Simon Ashdown has been quite instrumental in the Cindy Junior George type storyline. Lauren yes. Klee was quite heavily involved in everything to do with Yolandi and everything like and all that sort of thing. But Brian Kirkwood's scripts, I mean, I always think are an absolute treat whenever they appear on the screen because they are very funny usually. And he's normally I think it's fair to say that Brian Kirkwood is the filthiest writer on the EastEnders writing team because a lot of his episodes have got jokes where you think, how did they get that through the net? That's decent. But they're really, really strong. And it's sort of like, yeah, that's an old exec mm-hmm. producer. Yeah, fair play to you. But Simon Ashdown, I love his scripts. I love his episodes. And I hope we see much more of him in 2025. And talking of what we want to see much more of in 2025, the next award is Character We Want to See More Of This Year.
So the top three nominees were Felix Baker, Jay Brown, and Priyananda Hart. And the winner with 58.5% of the votes, Priyananda Hart. I mean, surprising.
Yeah, I mean, Priya is ridiculously popular. Like, people love Priya.
Good, it's justified. She's
an amazing character. She is an amazing character, isn't she? And she is so layered in what she can do. Like someone mm-hmm. like Priya, you could give a super bitch story to, but you can mm-hmm. also give her emotional depth, like when she's talking to Nugget or Ravi or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can give her the comedy stuff as well. She's a really funny character.
See, and it's funny because sometimes we compare her to Janine, but then when you're saying the emotional depth, that's not something we'd necessarily get from someone like Janine, but
oh, see, no,
Priya gives us that.
I'd argue that you do get emotional depth with Janine when she's done right. I think it's very
easy. Yeah, but it's not as common as you'd not as frequently as you'd get with Priya, I wouldn't say. But then again, they were different in many ways as well.
They are, because it's interesting. When Priya first arrived, I was like, oh, have we got a new Janine here? Oh, this is interesting. But actually, after 2024, it's kind of like, oh, actually, no, you're not. You're a lot softer than Janine. Like there's still a brittleness to you. There's a hardness to you. There's a grittiness to you. But you are not the super bitch who doesn't care about anybody. Like there was those moments when she was going after Nish, and you could sort of see that's something that Janine would do with her eyes shut.
Janine,
you know,
all
I mean?
Over. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Completely.
Yeah.
But also, Priya was doing that for her family and was doing it for fairly selfless reasons. Mm. And actually, you especially have looked at Priya and thought, well, she's a great mum. And nobody would ever accuse Janine Butcher of being a good mum.
Exactly.
In a billion years.
But you know what? I'll be honest. Only because I feel like we've seen Priya a bit more recently. Mm. I was thinking that Felix might have won that vote.
Yeah, I mean,
and again,
we do.
Felix, we had him last year in this nomination, in this category. Come on, what is
he
Felix even
three.
Doing?
He made the top three.
I know, but I know it's important, like you said, to have these community characters. But like this time last year, Bernie was up there. We've used her, and she's still a community character. It is time for Felix to get a proper storyline.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's for Priya, Felix and Jay to be the top three out of all the characters that were in the category. Jay, I agree with Jay, actually. I think Jay needs to be doing more. I mean, obviously, he had a huge year last year with the Lola stuff. Yeah. He's had a much quieter year this year. We've seen nothing of him and Lexi for months and months. And, well, I can't remember the last time we saw Lexi, to be fair.
I think, not that I think it needed it, but I think Lexi's going to come back as a recast.
Oh, do you think?
Because usually,
new head for Lexi.
Yeah. I think when they do this with kids in particular, when they have this long of a break, they usually come back as a new person. And like I say, I don't think that they need to recast Lexi at all. But I
wonder if that's what's going on.
Tingling that that's what's happening, yeah.
Maybe,
definitely.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see what 2025 brings. But yeah, Priya, Nandra Hart, I suspect they know how popular Priya is, all right? Because the internet goes insane whenever Priya breathes. So they... Yes. They know what we want to see. So I am expecting 2025 to be a much bigger year for Priya, but we shall have to wait. Especially with the choice that is coming with Denise and Ravi. We know that Priya is still harbouring feelings for Ravi. Is more of Priya's bitchy side going to come out? Is she going to get into a sort of feud with Denise? Is that where this is going to go, possibly?
Potentially, but I'm now wondering, it all kind of depends on where things go with Nugget, because if
Yes.
Nugget ends up acting up, I actually think the opposite, and then she might just start resenting Ravi for not helping out more because he's going to be too distracted. So it could go one of two ways, but I think it's safe to say we're definitely going to be seeing a lot more of her this
And
year, which is
bring
great.
that on. Right, ladies and gents, the next category is for best newcomer. The top three nominees for best newcomer are Kojo Asare, Teddy Mitchell, and Nicola Mitchell. And with 45.4% of the vote, I think with no surprise is Nicola Mitchell, who has come in like a hurricane, right?
Like a wrecking ball,
Like a wrecking
as Miley
ball.
Cyrus might say. Yes.
Indeed. Nicola is a fascinating character. She actually is what I think we were thought we might be getting with Priya when she first arrived, but I think we are fairly sure that
Yes.
actually Nicola is going to be filling that role. She's got a bit of a super bitch vibe about her, hasn't she?
Yeah, she seems quite tough. Like, she won't
Yeah.
take any prisoners.
No,
She
tough.
doesn't seem like somebody who'd feel any guilt about any, like, doing
No.
anything at
Tough,
all.
ruthless.
Yeah,
I
ruthless.
think.
That's the word I was looking
Yeah,
for.
I mean, I
Ruthless,
think when
yes.
you are at a stage where you are handing Phil alcohol because it works for you for him to get drunk, then that's the kind of person that we're dealing with Nicola.
Yeah,
She's
I
going to
don't
do
even think
anything.
Priya would stoop that low,
No,
if
I
I'm
don't think
honest
she
with
would
you.
actually.
No.
And it's going to be really fascinating to sort of see what 2025 holds for Nicola. The way that she's come in, I mean, not many new characters get like three duff-duffs in their first week. That's rare.
No.
So
Yes.
they've clearly got plans for Nicola, and I think 2025 will be a big, big year for Nicola, which is going to be interesting to see.
But what will they have planned, Rob? Come on, tell me. What do you
Wellry,
think? Go on.
I think that this is you had a theory that Barney would turn out to be Zax from the history that she has with Zach.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about all that. We've not
Yeah,
seen Barney for a while, so
we
I forgot.
haven't.
Oh, okay.
I think
Yeah, so you
that's
think
going to be
that's
real
all going to be
because
revealed?
they've got this history that we don't really know what went on between Zach and Nicola. So that's presumably going to be revealed in the coming months. And when we find out what that is, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's going to be revealed that Barney is Zach's. And what chaos is that going to cause within the new Mitchell family? And Nicola won't give us
Yeah.
shiny shite.
No, she'll
No,
not. She'll just think,
no.
well, Teddy, you've moved on. I don't
Yeah.
care. So, when will it, how will it come out, though, do you reckon? Do you got
Messily.
any messily?
Yes, very, very messily.
I'm wondering if maybe Barney will get ill or something, and then they'll
Ooh,
do some kind of test to see if,
prove his genes.
they need some
Yeah.
blood or maybe need a bit
Yeah.
of his liver or something.
Maybe that's a quite soapy way of doing it. Yeah, you could be right. You could be right.
Yeah.
But I suspect that 2025 is going to be a big old year for old Nick. So let's see what that brings.
And now the next award is for Best Family. Top three nominees for the Best Family were the Mitchells, the Panesars, and the Slaters. And coming in at number one with 47.4% of the vote, that's quite a lot,
That's quite a lot.
is the Panesars.
Wow.
Of
I
course.
mean, they've had a big
Yeah.
year, haven't they? They've had a
A
really,
very
really
big
big
year.
year. And I agree. I love the Panesars. I think they are such a strong family unit, and they have become so much stronger in this era, with the addition of Ravi and Priya and Nugget and Avani. It's really added some interesting layers to them, especially seeing as though their original unit has been so heavily depleted.
Right. I mean, the
Like,
original unit, what was Ash,
Ash,
Jags,
Kirat,
Vinny,
Jags.
Kirat, and
Yeah.
Suke, the five
Yeah.
of them. Yeah.
One of them's left, one of them's in prison, one of them's dead. Like,
Yeah. Out of the five, there's only two left.
yeah. So indeed, it
But
was a family.
then,
Yeah.
yeah,
It was a
a
family that
lot more
really needed adding
joined.
to. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And I think all of the new additions to it have been fantastic, and I love all of them. So it's like I say, it's gonna be really interesting to sort of see where they go from here because since these new additions come in, and Nish is included in that, it feels like Nish has been around for years and years and years, but he was also a new character within this era. And
Yeah.
he has been so instrumental in most of what's gone on with the Panesars since he arrived. But it's now going to be interesting to sort of see how they cope without him, which, with such a negative influence, is a kind of weird thing to say, but it's how do they deal with that freedom? thus far, not well, it would seem, especially with Nugget, you know?
No.
So,
I've got a feeling about Nugget, you know. I think he's
yeah.
going to go down the wrong path after all this.
Yeah,
It's all going to
might do.
go,
Horribly, horribly
yeah,
wrong.
a bit west. I wonder, you know, are we going to have to start calling them the Panasar slash Galatis slash Unwins
Slash
soon?
Unwins. It's gonna be a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? I think we might stick with Panasars for
Yeah,
now,
should we
but
just
we'll
stick with
see. We'll
Panasars?
stick with
All right.
Panasars for now. But the Slaters and the Mitchells too. I mean, I think the Slaters are just a popular family in general and will always be up there, as would the Mitchells. The Mitchells have had additions added to them this year, so that's probably,
Yeah.
you know, something to do with it. The Slaters, I think, have had a quieter year in all fairness, haven't
That's
they?
what I was going to say. They've not really had that much going on for once, the Slaters. I mean, they even had a pretty quiet Christmas for them, didn't
They
they?
did. They didn't. They weren't even.
Yeah.
They weren't even out of house and home. They normally are around
No.
Christmas time.
They were just a bit skint this year,
Yeah,
not homeless,
yeah.
so.
Stacey. All she had was a little bit of heartbreak. That's a good Christmas for
Yeah.
Stace. Great
Yeah, that is
Christmas.
actually
That's one of her
brilliant.
best in
Brilliant.
years. Didn't
It
see
is.
any death. Didn't see anybody fall off the Vic. Didn't murder anybody. She had a cracking Christmas.
But a New Year's Day weren't as great. A best mate
No.
did
What?
get
Yeah.
poisoned, and then the
Again,
best mate's wife
someone
got
fell off
thrown
a
off the
roof. It's a thing.
balcony. Yeah.
Stacey should not be allowed anywhere near
Oh,
anything that involves a
she's a
roof.
jinx. She's a
She is.
curse.
She's terrible. It's terrible, terrible curse. Ladies and gentlemen, the penultimate award is Best Return. So, Best Return. And this was the closest vote out of the entire awards. And it's not difficult to see why, because we've had some cracking returns this year. In joint third place, I'm going to read out the actual order for this one. In joint third place was Jane and Chrissy.
Yeah.
In second place was Bianca. And in first place, with 19.5% of the vote, that's how close it was David Wicks. But I think a lot of people struggled to pick a favourite out of the returns this year because there's been so many, and there's more to come, as we well know.
Yes.
And I'd throw Nigel into that top three as well myself, but I think it was maybe a little bit
Same.
late in the process for the
Yeah.
returns. But wow, David was a great return to bring back though. It was a fun week when he came
Yeah.
back, wasn't it?
It was definitely fun. We needed to see David and Cindy reunited, and boy,
Yeah.
have we. And have we seen the repercussions of them having a conversation
Have
one
we?
night or
Yeah,
what?
I think we have. Yeah, just a little
Yeah.
bit. I mean, it's. I mean, just imagine though, in 2024, the credits read David Wicks, Michael French, Cindy Beale, Michelle Collins, Bianca Jackson,
Yeah.
Patsy Palmer. Like, can you imagine that in 2024? Amazing, right? That's
Yeah. Well done,
why I love
Glenys, for
this
bringing
era.
everyone
Yeah.
back. That's all I'm thinking.
That's why I
Because I don't
love this
think
era
you would
so
have,
much.
yeah, I don't think you would have got it with anybody at like, he's very good at persuading people to come
Yeah.
back.
Because why wouldn't you?
Who
With the strength of that, why wouldn't you?
and
Like,
who else are we going to see coming up?
I know
I'm
it could
excited.
be
Other, we know that
absolutely
Grant's
anybody.
coming.
Yeah.
And we're hearing it's going to be quite a good return for Grant as well. Like something major's happening for him to come back. So,
Yes. What could it be? I mean, hey, but that's going to be next. That's going to be in the, we'll talk about that maybe at the awards for 2025, but it's going to be interesting.
Yes. But as we keep saying as well, we're talking about best returns. I think Bianca's due. I think she could be classed as another return for 2025.
Oh yeah, because the last time we saw her, she was locked up, surrounded by pots of wee, and now we don't
She's
know what's become of her.
got a commode now,
She
Rob. It's
has,
fine. He ordered one, probably
yeah,
from Amazon.com.
and a tuba to play. Imagine
And
if next time we
tuba.
see
Oh,
her, she's been so bored that she's actually become like an orchestral level tuba player.
I reckon she's not even shackled up, like she's not tied up anymore. Because she's just accepted a fate and she's just in there tidying around all the things that he's hoarded. Probably wearing Debbie's clothes by now, let's be
Probably.
real, because what else has she got to wear? I don't think she had a puffer jacket in there with her, did she?
No, but maybe she requested it and Reese felt sorry for her and gave it to her on Christmas Day.
Could, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. We do need to see Bianca, though. I do feel like we could have
Well,
done with at least one scene.
one scene on Christmas Day, like he brought her a turkey sandwich or something and
Yeah,
just chucked it back in his face.
100%.
And then I could have got
Yeah.
all I wanted, which was flying poultry, even if it had been a
Oh,
turkey
God, yeah, we
sandwich flying
still
in
didn't
Reese's
get it.
face. Wasted. A wasted opportunity.
Very wasted.
But there we go. David Wicks for the best return, and fair play to that. And also what was nicer in that, we got a brief Joe scene as well, which I don't think a single person on earth ever expected to happen.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course. We forgot about that. Yeah, I was not expecting that at all. We had those little mystery phone calls that he was getting that week from Holly, was it?
Yeah. But then that's also been something of this, like, you know, you've got the main return of a character, but then they've kept it quiet that actually, you know, same with the Chrissy stuff, like massive kind of talk about Chrissy coming out. But then you get Jake returning for a little scene as well. Like, it's great. I love those little moments. And there have been so many of those peppered throughout the year because of the anniversary. And it's so nice that they've gone for the anniversary of being more of a nostalgic look back, because so often with these big anniversaries, you'll get them turning around and saying, yes, you know, there'll be elements of nostalgia, but it's always about looking forward. And it's sort of like, actually, sometimes the viewer just wants to look back and look over the past history of the show. And that is what this anniversary has been about. And I love it. So last award, ladies and gentlemen, goes to Best Twist.
So for the final award of the Albert Square After Dark 2024 awards is the Best Twist. And the nominees are the top three: Sharon and Chrissy are locked up together, Dean confesses to raping Linda, and Eddie murdered George's father. And number one with 34.5% of the votes was Dean's confession to raping Linda.
That's high. That's high for that, isn't
very
it?
Very high.
I can see that. I can see that. Again, it's a very, I think it's another thing that people just loved Linda and like loved Linda's story. But actually, when you think about that moment, with Dean confessing in court, I remember my jaw hit the floor when it happened, because I just was not expecting him to do that whatsoever, because it was such a desperate move. But actually as well, that moment was like 10 years in the making. From the moment that it happened to Linda actually having him confess that to a room full of people, she's wanted that for so, so long. Like, yes, they've had moments where Dean has kind of privately said it to her, but it's not exactly the same as an outright confession. So
in a court of law.
Yeah, it was a very, very earned moment, I think, wasn't it?
It's a shame that the reason why he did it wasn't genuine. It was still for Dean's own twisted way, weren't it? Where if I'm going to go down for a crime, it's going to be for one that I've committed.
Yeah.
That was, I think, his reasoning why he confessed. But do you know what? Ultimately, he did confess. And sadly, it didn't bring Linda the closure that we all thought. You know, it might stop her drinking, but I guess just because you've got some form of justice doesn't mean that you can undo the damage that was already done to her.
Exactly.
So, which has clearly been the case for Linda.
Yeah, the other two, I mean, Sharon and Chrissy are locked up together. I mean, that week was camp, wasn't it? It really, really was.
It was camp, yeah.
And, you know, you could argue, yes, that why would someone like Chrissy end up in the same wing as someone who all she really did was tell a judge to shut up, to shut his face and stop being such a misogynist. And that's why Sharon was put in contempt and locked up with Chrissy for a week. But just,
hey, do you know what? The prisons in the UK, though, are struggling at the minute. So perhaps it's not that unrealistic.
No, probably
not. For 2024. Yeah, it was a lovely camp week. It was nice to see them reunited and have a little bit of closure together. Yeah.
And actually, the parallels that were managed to be pulled out between the two of them, I thought was amazingly clever. Sharon and Chrissy, their stories at that moment were so intertwined without them even realising. I thought, fair play. That's
there
good
were
writing.
There were quite a lot of comparisons between the six and what happened with Chrissy, Zoe and Sam, weren't there?
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
Fact, do you reckon we're going to see Michelle Ryan this year?
Who knows? I mean, it's
I think
always.
We are, you know.
Yeah, you reckon this is the year? I mean, if you're going to do it any year, I guess, yeah. I mean, it's always been that absent part of Kat. And she always brings a story up every now and again. And normally it's just like, no, we're still not speaking. And then they sort of move on. So it would feel right, I think. Because let's be honest, the You Ain't My Mother is like one of the iconic moments in EastEnders history. Like everybody, even if you
I think
don't...
it is the most.
One of, certainly. Yeah, you know. Mm. And even if you don't watch EastEnders, you know that moment. You could say You Ain't My Mother to somebody who's never seen a single episode of EastEnders and they will reply, "You, yes, I am.
Yes, back I to am. You.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yes, so, I am.
Possibly. I think you might be
nearly
right.
Nearly won a Year 7 talent show reenacting that scene. Very
nearly.
Nearly.
Was it the Sheffield accent?
I don't tried my best to do a Cockney one. I'll have you know. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why you didn't win it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, hey, Ree, do you know what? Maybe our viewers would have voted for you to win that award if that had been a thing.
Do you know what? I think you all would have. 100%. I think so. I would have got 100% of that vote.
Mm-hmm. There you go. But there we go, ladies and gents. That is the awards for this year. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for not only your votes, but for listening to us and watching us throughout the whole of 2024. We love every single one of you. And if you want to get in touch with us by any means, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20afterdark.
Buy me a coffee.
Buy us a coffee.
So there we go. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And here is to EastEnders' 40th year anniversary. What will 2025 bring? I tell you what it will bring is a brand new era. This time next year, we'll be in the Wadey era as well. Ooh. That's nerve-wracking.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. Let's just have some faith, right?
Fingers crossed. But 2024, fun year, good year. Those were your awards. Thank you for watching. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you soon. Goodbye.
Bye.